Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to all you people out there in Blood River Radio land. You're listening to Blood River Radio. This is the only radio station in the United States, maybe even the world, with the one purpose of destroying white genocide worldwide. As you know, our poster child for white genocide is South Africa. Sadly to say, South Africa white genocide has come here to the United States. Just about we have been suffering through a communist takeover here in the United States. But and I'm not surprised, because we have turned our back on God, and we probably deserve much worse than what we're getting, and we probably there's a very good chance we will be getting it soon. Listen, people, you know the drill here. This is a Christian radio show, and so we're getting ready to say the prayer. So if you will, please bow your heads. Almighty Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Eddie L. Miller, the God of Blood River Radio, the God of Liberty News Radio, the God of all my family. So Lord, we in this house here, oh God, we will obey the Lord. We certainly will, to the best of our ability. Lord, I feel like a hypocrite even saying a prayer, even ask you to bless this stinking country we live in right now, because, oh God, this country has turned its back on God. We sit here, people like me, we sit here and we babble on, asking God to bless us. Oh, please, God, bless us and keep the enemy away from us. But yet, what have we done? We have not lifted a finger to turn away God, to turn away evil, the enemies of Christ. You know, I got a letter, Lord, from Pastor Rob today, and he said it right on the money. We have done nothing. People here in the United States have gone along with the evil, oh Lord. And so, Lord, I'm almost ashamed to ask you to bless this country. But if you will, Lord, bless the people of God. Bless the remnant in this country. Bless the remnant in the world, God, that the very few that will stand and fight for you, Lord. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. People, also, what I must do before we go any further, we have to thank our donors. Because without donors, we wouldn't last 5 minutes on this show. I would like to thank very heartily. I'd like to give a great big thanks out there to Pam Dennis in Virginia. They have been stalwart friends of Blood River Radio. We may have to stay at their house when we go to Charlottesville in March or April. I don't know when that's going to be. You've heard us say that a bunch of times, but they could not be more solid. Thank you so much, people, for dear Pam and Dennis, for supporting us with your friendship and supporting us financially. I'd like to thank Ken in New York. I mean, he's just like clockwork every month. Thank you so much, Ken. I wish you would call my house sometime or call me. I'd love to talk to you. I really would. I'm in your debt. And I'd also like to thank Dennis in Idaho. He's a stalwart, always helps us out. You know, without donations, we could not make this show. But also, people, I talked to Jim Zim today, our combat infantry guy, combat infantry Vietnam, up close and personal with the enemy, you know. And he would like me to tell you, people, that he's on the mend. He's almost back. He's almost ready to put his Superman cape back on and get back in the fight. Also, I'd like to thank Dave Gehary and the people that were on last week. Finally, Lord, we got our DVDs that Dave sent us. So we have Hellstorm, a DVD, and we also have something I've been waiting on forever and a day. I can't wait to watch this, called Adolf Hitler, one of my great heroes, Adolf Hitler. Bless his heart. Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. I can't wait to start watching that. And I'm going to see if the local Baptist church will let me show that. You know, I'll give them 50 cents if they'll let me. But also, I'd just like to say, I'd like to thank Jim Zim for supporting us. And I'd like to ask you people to please continue praying for him, even though he's like 95%. You know, we don't want him to, back, backslide. Also, I've got a quick announcement to make. The annual Faith and Freedom Conference, April 23rd, 24th, and 25th is going to be held in Harrison, Arkansas, a.k.a. Zinc, Arkansas. I've been asked to make that announcement. If possible, if I'm not in Charlottesville, if I'm not at a wedding, I'm going to do everything I can to be up there this year. They've asked me. They're the sweetest, nicest people in the world. Also, lastly but not leastly, before I announce our surprise guest tonight, I'm going to rest. Here's a couple of the notes I got from our donors and from our people that support us. It says, Eddie. Hi, Eddie. Hope your weather is getting better. I can't wait for spring to get outside, so I'm so tired of being cooped up in this house. Cash this check, and if you get the other one also, you can cash both of them. And the other count is January and April donations, a.k.a. support. And that's from the Adams family in Virginia. Got this little note. It says, hello, Eddie. May God continue to bless Blood River Radio in our great Christian culture. Keep up the faith in God. And Amos 5:15, hate the evil and love the good. You're right, Dennis. That's Dennis from Idaho and his family. Also, I mentioned Ken from New York. He also donated, and I just like to re-mention his name. We it's so important. We couldn't get on without him. Tonight, people. Also, I'd like to announce one more announcement, and then we're going to get this show rolling. You will not want to miss next week's show. I guarantee you, Blood River Radio is the only radio station in the world that will be having these people on. No one else has got the gonads to get them on. I guarantee double damn to you. Nobody, you might say one thing about Blood River Radio. Ain't nobody out there in radio land can match us when it comes to balls, because we have them. And we're going to take it and kick it butt with the enemy next week. You will not want to miss that. Tonight, people, we have somebody else who's a great, even though she's young, she's intellectual, giant intellect, got the courage of a lion. She's been on before. Her name is Miss Cornelia Mueller. She is an Afrikaner, a proud Afrikaner. She's also a soldier in Southlanders. How are you doing tonight, Miss Cornelia?
Hello, sir. Always good. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing pretty good for an old geezer. I kind of overdid did a lot of weightlifting and did a lot of shoveling snow and ice, and I had about 2 day what they call delayed soreness, but I overcame that. And I'm training. I'm glad you mentioned that. Be praying for me because I'm training for my first ultra. I've run 16 marathons since I was 65 years old. I've done them all for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, what they call St. Jude Hero. But I want to do the Zion 100-mile run. That'll be my first ultra. And I'm going to try to take up donations for St. Jude when I do that, get people to pledge $1 a mile. I might even try to raise some money for Blood River Radio. Who knows? But how have you been doing tonight? How's things been going over in your neck of the woods?
Well, firstly, that's very impressive, sir. 100 miles, that's really long. I will have you in my thoughts, absolutely. Here, we are quite busy, to be honest. We are busy with a lot of things. There's never a dire or never a dull moment in South Africa, to be honest. We have, today is like a Remembrance Day for the Battle of Mayuba, and then basically the land expropriation without compensation is, you know, continuing quite hastily, and then the farm attacks, and just basically the usual couple of aspects, but it's just, you know, evolving yet again. But as I said, you know, today is the remembrance of Mayuba, which is a very special day. I'm sure sir is familiar with it. You have to be.
Go ahead, Cornelia.
Okay. So I'll just elaborate a bit because it's one of my favorite battles, of course. So it was basically the first Boer War, which was in 1880, and the, you know, the British came in at 1877, and the Boers kept on sending these proclamations to the British saying, well, you broke the Saint-Trefier Convention, which you signed in like 1852, and it was basically like this treaty that said from like the Vaal River, which is one of the rivers in South Africa, basically from that north upwards, it's like the Transvaal, and that was basically the Boer Republic. So the British annexed it, and so the Boers were quite patiently, and then after like 3 years that it didn't, nothing happened, they decided to meet up at Paardekraal, which is a place in the province of Northwest, Gauteng Northwest, and they basically came together. It was 10,000 Boers, and they said, this cannot go on. We are our own nation. This is our country, and we're going to fight for it. And they sent one last proclamation. Oh, and then they, of course, made a vow, and that's also one of the vows that we still keep until today, but that is in December, and that's the 8th of December. And so they sent this last proclamation to the British, and the British didn't accept it, of course. So the First Boer War started on the 20th of December, 1880.
Miss Cornelia, hold on to that thought. We'll come right back to you, and I want you to continue on. And I'm going to ask you if you've heard this book that one of our supporters wants me to ask you about. Be right back, people. Hang on to your socks. We will with Miss Cornelia Mueller from South Africa. Be right back.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
A Bienes is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, sure, thank you for hanging on. I've really been looking forward to this show tonight with Miss Cornelia. I just can't believe someone her age is as mature as she is and as well-rounded. I think 21. Are you 22 yet, Miss Cornelia?
No, not yet.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have to take my hat off and salute you, because when I was your age, I wasn't serious about hardly anything but hunting and fishing and trying to survive. Well, anyway, please go back to where you were. And when you get through, I'm going to ask you about this book that this lady wants me to ask you about.
Yes. Okay, fantastic. So I mentioned that the first Boer War started on the 20th December of 1880. So the Paul Kruger and two other generals, they said, well, you're not accepting the proclamation, so we declare war with you. So there were a lot of major battles in this war, and it was basically like six that I can think of now that, you know, each time the Boers won. And it was Lying Snack, Bronkhorst, and all of these battles, they just won the English, they won the British. And the Boers also lost at certain times, but the one battle, like one of the most famous ones, was the Battle of Majuba. And it was basically also about around 500 British and like 400 Boers. So there wasn't a really, a number difference, but it basically started, Majuba is like this huge, huge mountain, and it basically translates in Zulu to Mountain of the Doves. So it's really high up, and it's very beautiful. And the Boers went early to, you know, get to, we call it dooie grond. It's like dead ground, and that's when your enemy doesn't see you. So they had like basically formed a half moon, and it was just a brilliant tactic that they used, and they completely disguised themselves and managed to completely just ruin the British that day. And it was, they fought for, I might be wrong, but it was 11 hours, which they fought, and they won. And not even a month after that, the war ended, because the battle happened on the 27th of February, and the war ended in March. So it wasn't a long war. Yes, it's today. It's a really special day. And that's why I each year this day, we usually try to go to Majuba. Like, a lot of people go there. And like last night, you know, if we would compare it to a year ago this time, we would usually go the evening of the 26th. We would like walk to the top of the mountain during the night with like firelit. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't speak any English today, so my English is terrible.
You're doing great. You're doing fabulous.
Thank you. So then we basically just walk. The evening we walk up, and then we come down, and then the day of the Majuba battle, which is today, we would have like a sermon, and we would sing, and we would do like a lot of folk, like Afrikaans games and dances, and we would walk the mountain again, everyone, and then we would have this demonstration of what exactly happened at the battle. So it's really an amazing day, and it's absolutely, if Siri finds yourself in South Africa, you must be sure to be here in February so that you can see it, because it's truly amazing. It's really such, and also to see that mountain, it's really truly amazing how they managed to get the upper hand and to have such a brilliant tactic. It's just, it's truly amazing. It's just, one is very only thankful if you think of a day such as today. So
that's great. Yeah. How would you say, how does that compare? I know you mentioned several different vows, and I, you know, I, forgive me, I wanted to have the day of the vow prayer pulled up. Yeah, I barely got in this office today just in time to get things cranked up. Things have been pretty crazy here for me lately. But how would you compare that vow of that mountain, you know, so they, when they formed a half moon, how would that rate compared to the day of the vow at the Battle of Blood River?
I would firstly have to elaborate more. I just realized that I didn't share completely everything that happened at Pardekraal. So the Boers, you know, we are all human. We have our unfortunate faults, which makes us human. So the Boers didn't keep the day of the vow of the 16th of December. They started slacking with it. They didn't really keep it anymore. And then at Pardekraal, Paul Kreer told the men, and he said, do you realize that we've forgotten our vow that we made? It's a promise to God, it's not to man. So today we would put, each of you put a rock on this. So they made stacks of rocks, and each one that put a rock there promised to keep the vow as an individual. And that if they did not keep it, that the rocks would basically witness against them. So that's basically what that day was. It was a renewal of the vow on the 16th, and also that if they would win this war to be a free country again. And it's really interesting because the stacks of rocks was there. It was there during the whole battle, and the Boers won. And it's really interesting because Lord Robert, in the second Boer War, he just couldn't understand why they couldn't win the Boers. So he sent his men to take all of those rocks at Pardekraal and throw it at sea, because they were so sure that that was one of the main reasons why they could not, it was not possible for them to beat the Boers.
That's amazing.
But yes, I didn't compare it really to each other, but I hope I answered the question.
You know, no, that's great. That reminds me of several things. You know, if this isn't too abstract, our friend General Nick Glastovic says that just because you don't believe in the devil, it's not going to save you from the devil. Your unbelief in the devil will not save the devil from eating you alive. You know, that also reminds me of the battle here in the United States, our first war of independence. We lost our second war, the Civil War, of course. But the British, I don't remember which British general it was, but, you know, he was religious, although the King of England was not, didn't really believe in God like we do, so much. But that British general said that they were going to lose the war because God was on the side of the colonists. Cornelia, I'm as older I've gotten, I've become very faithful. You know, I'm a hardcore Christian. I could be a lot better. But I know that God rules in the life of men, which leads me to the question. I know you're so young, you couldn't go back very far in time to judge people, but I know you've probably talked to your parents and to your grandparents. How do the people nowadays, say your generation, the current population in South Africa, how would their faith is it stronger, weaker, non-existence compared to, say, a generation, say, 50, 75 years ago? Do you have any idea?
I would say that there's such a diversity. The traditional Afrikaner, which I deeply love so much, is absolutely very dependent on their faith. And I think that is a very Afrikaner thing, because a lot of Afrikaners, even because I went to a public school for a couple of years, and that's like mainstream, and even in the school, if they weren't necessarily raised in a religious home, they always had that inner want to be, you know, to need something more, to want something more. And we usually had this on Mondays at our school. There was like this Christian meeting on Mondays. And you can just, you know, you can go if you want to. And just there was always so many kids that went. So I would say most... Sorry, I hear we are...
Ms. Corley, we have to go to a quick break. Yes, keep that thought, please.
Yes,
dear Blood River Radio family, hold on to your seats. We'll be right back with Miss Cornelia Mueller from South Africa. Be right back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, Pursuing Liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden spoke at the White House after passage of the $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief bill in the House in a near party line vote early in the morning.
With their vote, we're one step closer to vaccinating the nation. We are one step closer to putting $1,400 in the pockets of Americans. We're one step closer to extending unemployment benefits for millions of Americans who are shortly going to lose them.
The legislation now heads to the Senate. The FDA is expected to make a final decision on authorizing the Johnson & Johnson one-shot COVID-19 vaccine this weekend. The advisory panel has already endorsed it. The company promises more than 100 million doses will roll out in the next 4 months. This means with Moderna and Pfizer expecting 600 million doses by August, there could be a surplus of the vaccines in the U.S. this summer. This is USA Radio News.
When thinking about life insurance, my accident reinforced you never know what tomorrow might bring. That's why I reached out to AccuQuote. AccuQuote helps people find a life insurance policy that meets their needs. Since 1986, they've helped millions of folks save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. Longer or permanent terms are available. Even if you already own life insurance, you really need to check out my friends at AccuQuote. Don't worry about health issues. Remember, they help me. As a pastor, I'm concerned about your soul and helping you to make sure your family is taken care of. Life insurance is more affordable now than ever, so don't make them wish you'd made that call. 877-437-4781. Call now, 877-437-4781. 877-437-4781.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
President Biden paid a trip to Houston on Friday. From the USA Radio Texas Bureau, here's Val Dior.
Joe Biden and First Lady Jill heard firsthand from Texans still struggling from that brutal winter weather on his first trip to a major disaster area since he took office. He was briefed by emergency officials and thanked workers for doing God's work. He promised the federal government will be there for Texans as they try to recover, not just from this storm, but also the health and economic crisis caused by COVID. Tens of thousands of Houston area residents are still without safe water, he learned while visiting the Houston Food Bank, and a briefing from Acting FEMA Administrator Bob Fenton. Homeland Security Advisor Liz Sherwood Randall accompanied the Bidens to Houston, and they were joined by Governor Greg Abbott and Senator John Cornyn, both Republicans, as well as a long list of Democrats, spearheaded by Houston area members of Congress, Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo, and Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner. From the Texas USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Val Dior.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, and you are so dear to us. I'm telling you, getting more close to you people every day. We have so many good people here. I have several questions. But anyway, go back to where you was before I start these other questions, Miss Cornelia. And when you talk about faith, that's one of my strongest things. I can't live without faith. Go ahead, Miss Cornelia.
Yes. So I had a moment to think about it. But I would absolutely say that there is religion, but our generation urgently needs someone like a true shepherd, because there is a hunger, but there is yet so much uncertainty. And I also think, you know, living in a country where you're always persistently on your feet, ready for anything, always have this realization of, yes, I might be one of the three, I might be one of the women that gets raped every 28 seconds, or one of the other terrible statistics of South Africa. You cannot not believe, you know, seeing each day the grace that you receive and the mercy. You just, I cannot think that one cannot believe. But my generation really does have a hunger, but they're very uncertain. And, you know, we do need it like a true righteous shepherd, and that is really what we need, to be honest.
You know, before we move on, I think in our prayer, I probably butchered the prayer coming on the radio today, but I'm just so desperate. I'm so put out with the, and I'm not holding myself up to be some kind of self-righteous monk or something, but the people in the United States, we have lost so much faith. We have become so weak. And I guess if I was going to say another prayer, I would pray that God really chastises the cowards here in the United States. I don't know about the South Africa, how many cowards you have there. But the majority of the men in this country here have just been turned, they're just useless and worthless, you know, as far as courage, tenacity, the ability to fight, the willingness to fight. But listen, we'll be on to something else, Ms. Kumbi. I hope you do get some kind of a spiritual leader. Do you know the day of the vow prayer by any chance?
With me?
Have you memorized? Can you say it?
Well, when we learned it with a certain type of rhythm, but I've said it so long ago that I could find it quickly and I can read it to you if you'd like, but
I would like, I most certainly want you to do it at some time in this show, and I don't care what point the show comes in because I'm really unorthodox. I'm unorthodox in my life, unorthodox fighter. You know, a lot of your greatest military leaders in history were unorthodox and unpredictable. But sometime tonight, if you don't mind, I would love for you to do that. Maybe on the break, I can look it up and say it in English. You can say it in Afrikaner. I would love for you to say the day of the prayer in Afrikaner. But anyway, how about one guy asked a question? How is travel? Is it restricted there? In South Africa,
So internationally, it is quite restricted because you know about the apparent South African variant. So internationally, yes, and provincially, a bit. But to be honest, South Africa has always been a country where there's really not a lot of control. In the country at all, like in Johannesburg, in the cities, you know, when the lockdown started, you could see like the roads were just empty. There was no one there. But then there was like a informal, like a squatter camp. It's this one in the Cape, and it's called Khayelitsha, and they were doing everything just normally. They didn't care. And the police and everyone went to them, and they wanted to arrest them. And the people at Khayelitsha said, no, we don't believe in this virus. This doesn't exist. Leave us alone. And, I mean, if they start to riot, it's just such a mess, you know. So there's not really control at all. So you can go now through provinces. We are at level, like, 3, so we have a curfew time and, like, alcohol is not allowed to be sold on certain days. So we actually had a lot of very, very silly laws, like petty laws that we had during the first, like, the strictest lockdown. Like, they weren't allowed to sell hot food at our shopping centers. And you weren't allowed to, like, wear like sandals, like open shoes or too short shorts. Not like we do, but there are people that does it. And like cigarettes weren't sold, tobacco, nothing, no alcohol. It's just, there were so many things that just, it was just hysterical. It was terrible. And so there's really not, even if there was very strictness about it, there's so little people, especially in squatter camps, that listen to that at all. So,
well, you know, we had another listener said he wants to know how much longer do you think the current regime is going to hold up, is going to last? And you know, I don't even know who's supposed to be the president or the premier over there in South Africa right now. But where does the general talk, the general? The people, when they get together, I won't say the grown people because even though you're grown, you're still really young. Are they saying that this regime is going to hold up much longer? And if it will, it be, are they expecting things to get better? Are they optimistic? Or are they expecting things to get worse? What's your opinion on that? And so, what's the general talk?
So we have a lot of different groups in South Africa. And like the more liberal initiatives, groups, advocacy groups, they all believe that like the regime would change because some people go, magically there's a lot of people going to start voting and just they just have their debate about it. But I think me personally, I am very, very hesitant to say anything about it because the whole problem now currently is that Cyril Ramaphosa said in an interview years back, I think it was in 1990, he said, we are going to cook them. We're going to boil them like a frog. We're going to start with a low heat and we're going to bring the heat up systematically. And then at the end, it's going to be too late. So the ANC within itself currently has a lot of problems. There's a lot of division. You have like the one half that is pro Ace Mabushula, who is the Secretary General. And then you have like the other half that is very pro Cyril Ramaphosa. So within the ANC itself, there is current problem. But I would never say like, oh, I think it would be a year or 10 years because the whole tactic was to stretch it out so much that we firstly do not realize it. Secondly, that it catches us completely off guard. And then when it catches us, we realize, oh, wait, this is completely too late. So I would unfortunately not be able to give it time at all. But as I said, like you have these advocacy groups or analytical forums or groups that say, oh, no, there is going to be a regime change. But I just think South Africa is just, it's just really like this pot boiling over. For example, the NDR, I think that's something really important to keep in mind. So the ANC, it was established, it was started in 1912. And they adopted the Freedom Charter, which is like this document of how they're going to, put everything into place. And through the Freedom Charter, they are going to put in the National Democratic Revolution, the NDR. And that's, the NDR is basically a Soviet-inspired strategy. And it's basically, you know, to take all the current state institutions, completely remove them and substitute them with democratic institutions. So it's basically to go into communism completely. It is basically the way that they are going to make South Africa a communistic state. So in 1990, the ANC, the South African Communist Party, and the KUSATU, that's like a workers' union, the Communist Party and the African National Congress in 1990 had signed an alliance. And it was called the Tripartite Alliance, and it was basically, they endorsed the National Democratic Revolution. They said through the Freedom Charter, they're going to introduce the National Democratic Revolution, and they're going to make South Africa a communistic state. So that is basically their intention. We have these advocacy groups that say, oh, but they will never reach that intention.
Miss Cordelia, I'm sorry to have to interrupt you again, but because you were really on a roll, and I've got 1,000 notes here for what you said. We've got to go to our last break. We'll be right back, Miss Cordelia. People, please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help. And thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Well, people, you're listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and we're in the last segment. Every week, I know you hear me say this, but this is even faster than last week. Last week was faster than the week before. I swear I believe we're in some kind of a time warp. I don't know where it goes. But in case you're just tuning in very, very late, we have Miss Cornelia Mueller on. She's from South Africa. And I'm going to let her wind up. What she's talking about right now, I'm going to ask her to talk about us Southlanders and a few other things and how you can donate to them. Go ahead, Miss Cornelia. Continue on where you were.
Yes. So a basic summary is the ANC is the absolute Afro-socialist party. It's absolutely without a doubt. It is already so busy with the National Democratic Revolution that people are just not seeing it. You have liberal groups such as the Institute of Race Relations that completely elaborate and explain everything on the National Democratic Revolution and how land expropriation has everything to do with this and how this will absolutely mean the demise of South Africa. The land expropriation is not about redress at all. It is about state control. As you in America also have this fight against communism, and one would say we are the canary in the coal mine, you know. In South Africa, personally, we always say, yes, we have trouble here, but in America, you're just a few years behind. So it is truly in America also very prominent, even if it's not really seen because it's done very subtly because, for some people, it's really clear. For if you are in this field, it's so clear for you. But for everyday Americans, it's not really that clear. I would presume for everyday South Africans, even everyday South Africans also sometimes don't want to, you know, look at the reality of what's really going on. But South Africa is really, it's just, there's so many components. Our hospital is just in a terrible condition. I mean, like 94% of public hospitals are not even able to comply with like basic health care standards. Our schools are dysfunctional, 80%. And we have so much unemployment. So it's just everything you see in the news about how beautifully it's, the exterior is of yes, but we have this plan and we're going to do this. It's just completely, it's not true at all. The ANC has always been very clear about what they want to do, even after the 1994 elections when they got the ruling and they, you know, they were governing South Africa currently. Even each 5 years, they just remind, oh, our agenda is the National Democratic Revolution. So they're very honest and open about it. And they still have their alliance with the South African Communist Party and the Kusatu, I don't know what you call that in English, but it's basically, it's like this advocacy group for workers' union. That is how I can explain it. So, yes, South Africa has it very clear. And America also. So for us in South Africa, our heart really goes out to Americans because we do care a lot for the Americans, and especially the Americans that are like-minded and the same as us. It's you're like family. So yes, that's what I can say about what's going on in South Africa.
Well, you know, you nailed it, Miss Cornelia, when you said that South Africa is the canary in the coal mine. I remember when Simon was over here, Simon Roach, he is your immediate supervisor in Sightlanders. Well, you know, he's told us about this, and that was over 3 years ago when he was here, when I rode with him to Charlottesville. And things are infinitely worse now than they were then. You could not believe how much has deteriorated here in just the last 10 months. You are absolutely right. We have suffered a complete communist takeover here in the United States. It's going to take an act of God to reverse it. I can't see God coming to our aid because we have neglected God so much. We have allowed, abortion, homosexual, the homosexual, perversion is just absolutely off the scale. They're teaching, they're having sodomites, transvestites reading stories to our children in school. It's just on and on and on. But let me ask you this. I think, in my opinion, no matter what party you are, no matter if you're pro-union, anti-union, there's one issue, and that issue is race. And, either you're white or you're not. You're for your white race or you're not. There's the white race and there's all the other colors. You're Christians and there's all the other religions of the world. In the United States, we have, on a 10-point scale, as far as being racially aware, we're probably a 2 at best. I don't even know if they were that high. Very few white people in the United States identify themselves as white people. They're more afraid of being called a wreck. I think they'd rather have a head-on collision car wreck than to be accused of being a racist, or being, for God's sake, a homophobe. This is my question to you, Miss Cornelia. In your age group, different ages, are y'all racially aware of there how serious it is for the white people or in that country? Being delirious, if they're not actually, into reality about how bad things are, I guess those are two-part questions. And I guess I'll just say the primary question is, how racially aware are the people over there in South Africa? Is it more so, are the young people more racially aware or less racially aware than the older people?
So I'm going to start firstly by saying what way we were raised. So we were raised on a farm. We had workers, and we had a very, very understanding, good relationship with our workers. It is that that respect for they have their culture, and it's within their border. And we've never, when one of them were pregnant and they had to go to the hospital, my father would, without a doubt, do everything to help. If they got, bit by a snake, everything. We always did everything to help. But we never crossed the borders of wanting our South African, our Afrikaans culture to give it to them or to start practicing their culture. So we've been raised to respect the borders, not because you hate someone else, but because you merely love your own culture. You love it so much you wish to preserve it, and you would go to all lengths to preserve it. It's like protecting your family. You want to close the doors, it's about protecting. So that is how we were raised. That is how I can say the Afrikaner culture is. There's also this mainstream narrative that Afrikaner men are brutal towards black people. And unfortunately, you do have that, but you also have it vice versa, a lot more. So it's just, it's a narrative that's not true. The Afrikaners they have a respect for another culture, but we don't want to mix our cultures because we love our culture. We really, really, really do. In fact, you have the differences alone in the provinces in South Africa. For example, you have the people that live in the Northern Cape. It's like the most western and most northern part of South Africa. And they don't really want their children to even marry the most eastern side, the most northeastern side, which is the Transvaal. So you even have that, you know, because there's just that difference. So we are a nation that really loves our sorts and our people and people that are like us at heart. And the second point, so firstly to break the narrative for anyone that's listening that might have thought that, the second point is that unfortunately, the racial division that is here is not because it's that thing of, oh yes, you're a Zulu, you want to be a Zulu, I'm Afrikaner. No. The racial division currently is more based on aggression for the reason there's a lot of youth that support like the ANC youth and the EFF youth and Inkatha Freedom Party. And these parties use very hate incitement quotes and songs like Kill the Boer. And they basically incite this hate to a group of people that's young, that's, you know, still want to know what to believe. And they hear, oh, no, wait, this guy stole my land. So unfortunately, there is a lot of hate, though. And for example, one of my friends, she's at university, and she says she lived in the city her whole life. Her father's not a farmer, but the black kids at university is like screaming things at her, like, oh, give us the land back, or the very, very disrespectful things. So currently, the racial division, it's not that was the traditional division of, yes, this is your culture, you be a Zulu, this is, do that, but do not, we want to keep that apart to protect it. And then the one that we have now is more of this very unfairness, because we have youth, a lot of, you know, white youth that says, oh, so there's only 10 white students accepted to study nursing at the university? Why? I worked so hard for years at high school, and I got the point. Why am I not allowed? Because of my skin color. So the policies instituted, this affirmative action instituted, is what is busy actually dividing the country even more, and not the division of, you know what, cause us, you know what, it's great that you practice your culture, go and do that. We are going to give the Afrikaners the place for them to practice it. No, not at all. It is absolutely an undermining, terrible way. Policies, affirmative action, it's just, they're sowing division so badly that people that come from liberal families, people that don't even care about their own culture, are getting so upset and so mad about these things. And then you start to realize how terrible this really is, that a person that doesn't even want to speak their own language is starting to get really upset. So, yes.
They're starting to get a dose. They're starting to get what we say here in the United States. They're getting woke. Yes. They're starting to get that unfortunately should have happened 15, 20 years ago. You know, we're getting ready to go into the second hour. Miss Cornelia, could you hang on? I'd like to keep you on for another segment in the first hour, because I'd like for our Gene Andrews to have I'm sure he wants to ask you a question or two. Could you hold on for one more segment?
Yes, of course.
Well, thank you so much. We'll be right back then, Ms. Cornelia. I'm really glad you can hold on. People, we're getting ready to transition to the second hour of Blood River Radio. We have Ms. Cornelia Mueller on from South Africa. She's going to stay on, and she's going to come up for the next segment, second hour. So please don't go anywhere. Be right back.